The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor co-host, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm doing terrific today. How are you?
Very good.
All right. We have a special guest for the third week in a row, Bob Vaness, owner of Water Medic. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie.
Thanks for being with us for the third week in a row. You getting tired of seeing us?
Not really. I enjoy explaining to the people about water problems.
You're very passionate about this subject, and boy, you know your stuff.
Well, I've been around it enough and tested enough water, and I think I've seen just about every water condition known to man.
All right. That's why you're here. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We discuss all different real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
Like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate or the Real Estate Roundtable. And to view our listings or search the MLS listings, you can go to jruddy.com, jruddy.com, where we also have many of our archive radio shows for the last 3 years. Okay, again, Bob Vaness, owner of Water Medic. Please tell me about Water Medic, what it does, how long you've been doing what you do, and where you serve.
Jackie, we serve all of northeastern Pennsylvania. We install water treatment systems to remedy just about any type of water problem that you can come up with. We have vans on the road. We go within a 100-mile radius of the DuPont area. We take care of commercial car washes as well as residential applications.
Wonderful. What's your contact information, please?
You can contact us on the web at watermedic.net or contact us by phone at 888-442-0349. That is 1-888-4-H2O-FIX.
Okay. Now, the last several weeks you've been here, we talked about public water systems, and we started our discussion in on well systems last week. Well water should be tested annually at the minimum, at the very least, correct?
Correct.
All right. What should be tested? Is it just a matter of taking a water sample from a faucet, or should the actual well and the components of the well also be looked at?
Well, when you're on a well, you have basically what they call a well tank, and you have a well pump, and then you have the distribution system throughout the residence. And normally, most wells have the pump last between 15 to 20 years. And then when a well pump goes bad, you just don't have water. But one of the things that most residents could do to probably prolong the life of their well pump is have their well tank checked every once in a while. And normally the well tank basically prevents the well pump from turning on and off every time you open a faucet or flush a toilet or use water at the residence. In order to test that, a quick and easy way is to shut the breaker or the power supply to the well pump off and open up the faucet. And if the water only runs for like a pint or a quart and then stops running, that's an indication that your bladder tank is broken and you should immediately call someone and get that replaced. We replace those at Water Medic also. But the well pump has a pressure switch on it, and what happens is it raises the pressure up to either 40 or 60 PSI and back down to 20 or 40 PSI, which is pounds per square inch. That's your water pressure coming into your house. And if that well bladder tank is broken, then your well pump will turn on and off every time you use water and burn out the well pump. So an easy thing for the homeowner to do to check that is to shut the breaker off, open up a faucet, and make sure the water runs for a period of time. If it doesn't, you need to have the bladder tank replaced, or you will burn out your well pump.
I bet a lot of people don't know that.
A lot of people don't. We replace a lot of well pumps and a lot of bladder tanks.
And if they just check that bladder tank every so often, maybe they can prevent that well pump, because I would think that's a significant expense.
Yes, I would think every 6 months would be a good time to check that, just to make sure. It takes 2 seconds to just shut the breaker off.
Change of times, like the change of seasons, maybe, yeah, like in the fall and the spring.
Yeah.
A good time to check those things, get in the habit. Now, bladder tank is what? Is it also called an expansion tank?
Or the holding tank?
It's a bladder tank is a well tank. It's basically, the bladder tank. The well pump pushes water into the bladder tank, and when it reaches 60 psi or 40 psi, the pressure switch shuts down the well pump, and then you draw out of that bladder tank.
That's where your water.
Yeah, that's where your water comes. Your well pump doesn't turn on every time you open a faucet.
Okay.
That bladder tank is your storage.
So that tank could be not operating properly, and you would have absolutely no indication that it wasn't working. It wouldn't be leaking, nothing.
No sirens go off.
No,
nothing.
No. And most people don't know that. And a lot of times they burn out their well pump because they didn't know their bladder tank. And the bladder tanks are very inexpensive compared to the well pump.
So by the time they have to replace their pump, they have to replace both.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you can tell stories of people who didn't check their bladder tank and just replace the well pump, and then had to replace the well pump again.
That's happened a few times. Usually, though, the well pump will take a while to burn it out. It won't. In other words, it's not. If you put a new well pump in, it's not going to burn out immediately. But cycling on and off every time you open up a faucet definitely will burn out a well pump.
Hmm. And how long do bladder tanks last?
Depending on what the condition of the water coming in. I mean, if the water's acidic, if the water's got heavy iron in it, a lot of those things can destroy it. So, an average life of a bladder tank should be, in the 10-year to 15-year range.
And you said on a pump it should be?
10 to 20.
Okay. All right. Now, you said that you service pretty much all of northeastern Pennsylvania. I'm sure you have some stories. What are some local problems associated with wells?
Well, a lot of your local problems have popped up recently because of the drilling, but it's been there for a long time. Methane. I mean, I have went to I had a customer call me on the phone and say, I need you to come down here. This was around Great Bend, around the Halsted Great Bend area, next to the Susquehanna River. And I said, what's the problem? They said, my water lights. And I said, what do you mean, your water lights? They said,
it's radioactive lights?
No, they said, I can take a lighter and hold it up and it flames. What do you mean it flames? So I went down to their house, and just like they said, they opened up the faucet and put a lighter there and it flamed. That's the first time I ran into it. It was methane.
How long ago was this?
Oh, 1998.
A long time before fracking.
Long time before fracking. Yeah, methane has been around. You usually find sulfur and methane. Normally, you find them along the streams and rivers. For some reason, that's where it seems to show its head. I think that some of the drilling has caused some of that methane to leach up to the surface more. But I also think that, it has been here for a while. It's not like methane has never been here.
It didn't come overnight.
No. And when you deal with methane, there's really only one way to get rid of methane, and you have to vent it. So what they have is a system that's called open aeration. And what that consists of is spray bars that go into a tank that has no pressure on it. And then underneath that is a separate well pump that repressurizes and puts it through the house. And the methane is exhausted out of the house via PVC pipes and above the ridge line, where it can vent to the atmosphere. And we've put several of those systems in prior to any drilling, as well as after the drilling. We've put them in up here.
Are they expensive systems?
Yeah, those systems run between $7,000 and $10,000.
Wow.
Well, if you don't want your water flashing up on you, I guess it's a good investment.
Well, methane's not good for you at all anyway. I mean, it's not good to breathe it. It's not good to drink it.
Drink it?
Yeah, people drink it.
You wouldn't be able to fix that by just simply boiling your water.
No, boiling your water wouldn't fix methane.
No, okay.
When you take methane out of pressure, in other words, when you have it in a well system, it's all under pressure. There's always 40 or 60 PSI. Well, methane will just go right through that. It won't come out of solution. So you have to take the pressure off it for the methane to be able to come out of solution.
But it's fixable.
It's fixable.
That's the good news.
Yeah.
All right. What other problems have you come across in this area? Any kind of extraordinary stories?
Well,
that
we've had, as you probably well know, there's been some chemical spills in the area with gasoline and other chemical contaminants that have required special systems to be put in for people. The Department of Environmental Resources in Pennsylvania is pretty much up on top of the chromium and all the contaminants that have been caused by various spills and leaks and whatnot. And those can all be remedied. I mean, if there's anything that can be put in the water, it can be taken out of the water. It's just a matter of what method do you use to get it out. Extraction, distillation, absorption. There's many different ways to fix water. But water as a whole is very important to us as human beings. And unfortunately, it's going to be a more valuable resource than oil in the future. You can bank on it. Because the way that we are utilizing water, contaminating it, and not replenishing it, we're going to eventually have a problem with quantity that we need to live.
Of quality.
Quality
of,
and quantity.
And quality.
We're
going to
have a problem with quality, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, I would rather not think about that. We're headed towards a break. We'll pick up that discussion after the break. And Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes. We have a very nice three-bedroom home at 604 West Taylor Street in Taylor for $134,000. This home has hardwood floors, an eat-in kitchen, gas heat, a large three-car garage, and a big yard. This home also has new windows and a half bath in the lower level. So if you're looking for a three-bedroom in Taylor with low taxes, give us a call about 604 West Taylor Street for $134,000, and that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. CNBC.com just reported, Cuba makes another job legal. Imagine this, real estate agents. Much attention was just given to Cuba's recent decision to allow its athletes to compete for foreign professional teams for the first time since the 1959 Castro Revolution. Less notice was another, and perhaps more important, I think it's more important. What about you?
I think I might go for a position down there.
Labor reform. The legalization of real estate agents. Imagine doing what we do and it not being legal. I can't imagine that. Until now, real estate agents have had to work in the shadows, fearing arrest. When CNBC traveled to Cuba last year, they tried on more than one occasion to speak with individuals who were working on bringing buyers and sellers of homes together. No one would return their calls, presumably because they were afraid to talk to a foreign news crew. The latest move is one of the series of changes the communist government has made in order to improve dire economic conditions. Until a few years ago, everyone on the island was supposed to work for the government, from doctors to farmers to waitresses and everyone in between. Everyone was, in essence, a government employee. For real estate agents, at least, that appears to have changed. Thank goodness, I would say. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break. The real estate market is extremely active, and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I know Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Mm-hmm. You're rejoining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband and fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. And our special guest, Bob Vaness, owner of Water Medic. Good morning again.
Good morning, Jackie.
Water Medic is what? What do you do? Where do you go? And your contact info, please.
Yeah, Water Medic is a locally owned company that does water treatment for residential and commercial applications. We can be reached at watermedic.net on the web, or 888-442-0349 or 888-4H2O-FIX.
Excellent. We talked on the first half about problems associated with well water and some extraordinary things. And then I was thinking, I've always had wondered, does the salt that they use on their roadways affect our water supply?
Anything that goes into the water table will affect our water supply. Sodium chloride is probably one of the hardest contaminants to get out of water. And why that is because it's non-filterable except through nanofiltration, which is basically membrane technology or distillation. That's one of the key problems they have with some of the water that comes out of these gas wells is sodium chloride. And it's very difficult to get rid of. And as they put more salt on the roads, it definitely, or the runoff, and all the water that ends up on top eventually ends up underneath. Some of the wells that I've tested up around the falls area have had sodium chloride in them naturally occurring. Sodium chloride primarily can, it runs in veins like coal does. And sometimes it comes up closer to the surface and deeper. And in our area, it runs between 5,000 to 8,000 feet deep normally. But there's some wells that I've tested that had sodium chloride contamination out in falls and some other ones over in Suskin that have well water with salt naturally occurring in it. So what we normally have to do for that is put in a whole house reverse osmosis system, which is very expensive as well as a very energy consumption, because it takes a lot of water pressure to run through a membrane to get the sodium chloride out. A lot of your islands that have desalinization plants in the Caribbean use that method to make seawater into potable water for drinking and cooking. The salt around our area that comes off the roads, it basically brings the total dissolved solids up a couple points each year in our all the water around our area. More so where they put salt on the road in the cities than down in the country, because it's used very sparingly on the country roads, but it's used a lot more in the city. But sodium chloride will raise the total dissolved solids up astronomical. If you look at a well water and you took just a little bit, a couple grains of salt and put in it, it would bring the TDS from, say, a natural, say, 100 TDS up to 3,000.
My gosh.
Oh, yeah, it takes it way off the scale. So a TDS meter, and not only that, you can taste the salt. Salt is a very unique taste. And it's not, you know, you need salt to live, but you don't need that much.
No.
So it's very, you know, the runoff, the contamination that we're doing to our environment and salting the roads is there. Can we prevent it? Well, it's like the chlorine problem. You're killing the bacteria while you're transporting it, and the sodium chloride is you're saving lives because you're not having accidents on slippery roads. So, you know, it's the best we can do at the present time. We don't have any other way to really take care of the roads except cinders and some of those, which are also very expensive and leave quite a mess with dust and the other things that transpire with it. But salt in the water is a natural occurring in certain areas, salt springs. We have a local park around here that's salt springs where the water bubbles up through the salt. And, you know, it's very difficult to get rid of. It's a contaminant. And we, by putting salt on the roads, are continually getting more and more sodium in our drinking water.
I see. So this reverse method that you use on existing properties that have already been built that discover that they have this problem, or new construction, is costly?
Very costly. Yeah, to do a whole house system with reverse osmosis can run in the neighborhood of $7,000 to $20,000, depending on how big, how many gallons a day you need and stuff like that. But yeah, sodium chloride, like I said, is one of the contaminants that's very difficult to get rid of. I mean, iron, sulfur, methane, those are all fairly simple to get rid of. When you get into sodium chloride, you get into nanofiltration, membrane technology, you get into stuff that's a little more on the high side.
So it's tricky, and it does require a little bit more, and it's more expensive then.
More expensive, energy consumption, and then you have to repressurize normally because you're going to have to make some sort of a holding tank system where you'll have to store some water for your usage and then release it as you need it.
What other stories do you have? Any local problems that have been with the well waters?
Well, there's been, you know, parasitic contamination is one of the key things that we've had a lot of in the recent years. When I first started the company, we used to do bacteria, microbiological testing, okay? Bacteria testing, we used to get one out of every 10 homes had some sort of microbiological problem on rural areas, and now it's up to 4 out of every 10 homes has microbiological problems.
So what's changed?
The environment. We're building more homes. We're putting sand mounds in. Sand mounds, the water from a sand mound actually goes into the groundwater. I mean, they have what they call leach fields, but basically the water's there and it goes into the ground. Yeah, you filtered out a lot of the solids, but to filter out microbiological, you have to filter at less than 1 micron. And normally the sediments in that don't filter at 1 micron. So, you know, you get that fecal. Some people say to me, geez, I have a well. My sewer's over here. My septic's over here, but my well's over here. And I say to them, how deep's your well? They say 210 feet. I say, is that sand mound 210 feet below your well? No. So that water can actually contaminate your well. And it gets in there through fissures in the rocks and the geological formations we have.
So what's the answer? When you have to do a sand mound and you have to do a well, what do you do?
Put some sort of microbiological protection on your well so that when you drink the water, you don't have to worry about getting fecal contamination in it.
Okay.
And test your water once a year.
Test your water once a year if you're on a well application.
And when you're testing your well water, also test the bladder tank.
Test your bladder tank, sure.
Which we covered in the first half of the show.
Mm-hmm. All right. Definitely.
Okay. Now, we talked about water softeners. I can't remember which show. It's all blending together at this point. But we did touch on water softeners at one point. And we have hard water typically in this area, right? Would you agree with that statement? Okay. Some states have actually outlawed water softeners.
Yeah, because of the sodium chloride discharge. Yeah, because what they found is that the sodium is building up in the drinking water systems because when you use a water softener, okay, you discharge sodium chloride. That's the byproduct. You're getting rid of calcium magnesium. At the same time, you're discharging salt brine. And what happens is that goes into the sand mound or whatever and eventually gets into the water system. And where there's been a lot of, in Massachusetts and California in some areas, they've outlawed it because the water is so scarce. And the sodium levels they've seen scientific evidence that it has risen. The sodium level's getting up so high that the only way to stop it is to stop the water softeners. I mean, you go into some places in Massachusetts, the water's 40 grains hard. Well, they have to regenerate their water softener every day. And that dumps a tremendous amount of sodium chloride into the water system. And they just can't handle it.
Okay, so do you think some more states are going to follow Massachusetts? And where else did you say?
California.
Nevada.
Yeah, a lot of them, what they're doing, like out in Nevada and certain places, what they're doing is they're using exchange tanks. In other words, they're taking the tank with the resin in it, they're charging it with sodium chloride, and then they're letting them use it. And when it's after so many gallons, they take it out and put another tank in, and they take those tanks to some area where there isn't a problem, and they do their regeneration.
Okay, I see.
And that's what they call a tank exchange program. Culligan used to have that around here. They used to have exchange tanks for water softeners around here.
So basically, hard, you can tell the difference between hard and soft water by the way that your hair reacts, your skin reacts. What are the differences?
Well, hard water will dry out your skin, itchy, scaly. Your hair will be totally different. It'll be like a lot stiffer. All your soaps and detergents. When you bathe or wash yourself with soft water, the first thing you're going to notice is when you use soap, it feels like your skin's slippery because it doesn't eat all the natural oils out of your skin. Hard water eats the natural oils out of your skin. That's what makes it dry.
I see. Okay. So what you think is a good thing may not actually be a good thing. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've had a great discussion with you today. You've been giving us a fabulous discussion 3 weeks in a row. What's your contact information?
Watermedic.net or 888-442-0349. That's 888-4H2O-FIX.
Okay, we have a beautiful 9-acre building lot on Spring Drive in Ransom Township, $95,000. This great location is in the Abington School District. It is half cleared and half wooded. The land has great views, and it also has 360 feet of road frontage. This land was perk tested, and it would be a great location to build your dream home. So if you're looking for land, give us a call about 9 acres on Spring Drive in Ransom for $95,000, and that is listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
There's a new hot trend in the United States regarding real estate, and it's definitely not for me, but it is hot, so I'm going to report about it. It's from AOL Real Estate, and you're going to just love it. Tiny apartments called micro apartments. Could you see it?
Yeah, your brother used to live in one in Manhattan.
I think that would be sprawling compared to what they're coming up with these days. Micro apartments are cropping up in major cities around the country to meet the demand of people who are short on cash but determined to live in areas with otherwise pricey rents. Micros, also known as hotel-style apartments, usually offer less than 200 square feet. I'd kill myself. Including private bathrooms, and they typically come furnished, sometimes with built-in beds and other amenities to save space. Clothing and other possessions, which just might as well just get rid of, are stored on shelves and on hooks. Most feature a group kitchen that may be shared with other units, although some apartments do come with microwave ovens and small refrigerators. They also include internet connections and utilities in the price of the rent. There are no elevators. What micro apartments lack in space, they often make up for in proximity to prime locations. See, there's always a trade-off. But to me, I really can't imagine living with someone else, never mind just by myself in 200 square feet. I just can't see it.
It says it comes furnished. I guess there's not much furnishings in 200 square feet.
No, just a bed. And they're making the bed. They're
like the Navy. It folds
up.
Away?
Yeah, oh, it folds nice. Up. And then there's a little corner desk. And then there's a bathroom. And that's it. Not everyone is in favor of the trend. Many worry that micro apartments could overcrowd their already busy neighborhoods, the infrastructure, adding to traffic congestion and making already scarce parking even harder to find. These are like boarding houses on steroids, someone said. Many major city mayors, such as the mayor of New York City, Seattle, and Boston, just to name a few, are in favor of micro apartments. People who reside in micro apartments tend to like living in a community, saying that it's fun, social, and affordable. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable, hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.